Welcome back to another episode of Clear the Air, the Simply Stogies podcast after show. I'm your host, Tim. And what I like to do is bring the hosts of your favorite cigar podcast back to the microphones so we can talk about the latest and greatest, what's going on. Usually it's the latest episode, but this is going to be good news. I believe this is the last episode, the last you're going to hear from us about the PCA 2024. So we're all excited to get through this whole thing. Let me start with James. James, welcome back. I know you're excited to be here. You did not say at all that you just wanted to walk off camera a minute ago. How you doing? What are you smoking?
Are we done with the trade show coverage yet? Is that a thing?
This is the wrap up. I hope this is the wrap up show for the PCA trade show.
I'm so tired. People will understand as we get into this episode. At least I hope you'll understand why I'm just tired of talking about it. I'm great. Thanks for having me, Tim. Thanks for inviting me back on once again. I don't think I have a choice. You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you I'm smoking the LH Cigars Nicholas.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I rather
enjoy Nicholas.
I'm a basic white guy. I'm not even Greek.
Because I may make an actual Nicholas.
Oh, you might?
I haven't used that one. I might do the American version. I got the Greek version. I got the Spanish version. Maybe I'll do it. Yeah.
Do the American version. Do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of talent, you just heard from him. That's Nick. The talent is all over the place. Nick, how are you doing? What are you smoking?
I'm doing okay. I'm smoking Tatuaje 15th. This, I believe, is the RTDA cigar that was released, but it's a Miami Tatuaje special white label. Interesting cigar.
No, it looks like you just fired that guy up too.
I did.
It's a special episode. You're celebrating the end of the PCA trade show coverage as well.
There you go. The wrapping up of the PCA. There we go.
It's the wrap up show, if nothing better. Before we get into it, though, I think we need to kind of promote some very special people that have helped us out, that sponsored everything that we did. That we brought to you from the PCA trade show. And James, I'm going to let you let everybody know what's going on with that.
Yeah, no, you're right. We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to our sponsor for all of our PCA coverage this year. Mild Kentucky Herf, May 11th, Ashland, Kentucky. You can call Fat Ash. Cigars at 606-254-0484. That's 606-254-0484. May 11th. Call and get your tickets now. This comes out at the end of April, so you've only got a couple weeks left, and it's going to be a great time. Let me tell you who's going to be there, because this list of people who are going to be there is it's pretty impressive. Luciano Morales, Luciano Cigars, Chef Rick, and Sarah Rodriguez from West Tampa Tobacco. We're going to have Usto Arroa from JRE Tobacco, Brian Matola from Cavalier. And then for sure, we're going to have Greg Free from Fortaleza y Libre. But of course, like my two favorite people are going to be there. First, Nick Sirris, our friend and co-host and owner of LH Cigars, is going to be there. And of course, Lou Cross, supporter of the show, has been for quite a while. He's going to be there with Lure Cigars. If you haven't tried Lure Cigars, this is going to be your opportunity to try Lure Cigars. But you're also going to get to spend time with all of the principals and blenders that I just mentioned. And then, of course, there's folks that are rumored to attend. Tom Lazuca from Asylum 13, Oscar Valadares, Hector Alfonso Noel Rojas, just to name a few. Guys, May 11th this year, tickets are $225. You're going to get a beer ticket. You're going to get or two beer tickets. You're going to get that as well as dinner tickets. You get to hang out with Nick. You get to hang out with me. It's going to be a great time. And look, if you're going to be there Friday for the pre-registration party anyway, you might as well, because these tickets are super limited, get a ticket for the dinner with Luciano Morales Friday night, May 10th. It's going to be an intimate cut and light. Very few tickets are available for this event. When you get a ticket for $100, you get entered into a raffle that you might win a Luciano Cigars branded golf bag. Plus, I know there's all kinds of different goodies. Look, Paul, Dwight, call Steven, my friends, Fat Ash Cigar, Ashley, Kentucky. Give them a call, 606-254-0484. Tell them Simply Stogie sent you. There you go. I think I only have to do that a couple more times.
Yeah, a few more times. Well, no, by the time this comes out, by the time this episode comes out, hopefully no more.
No, I'll have still to do have
two
one,
weeks.
We'll one more weeks, time. Yeah. One or two more times.
It sounds like a blast, and the list keeps on growing. Like, sounds like they've added some prizes, which a golf bag. I'll take a golf bag.
Well, like here's the thing. They do this raffle throughout the day now. I think the last time Nick was there, they saved the raffle for the end of the day, and they kind of did it all at once, and it took like an hour and a half because people just kept giving them more stuff to raffle off. They've changed that. They do the raffle throughout the day now, which frees up a lot of time for music, and I know this time there's going to be something very special where yours truly might be involved up on the stage doing some things with some of the principals and blenders. It should be a really good time. It's always a lot of fun. I can't wait to see my friends Dwight and Steven and Tim from there. Plus, I get to hang out with Nick and Lou. And like I just found out last night that our friends from Smoldering Cigar, Livermore, Iowa, they will be attending as well.
Wow. That's
nice.
Nice. Yeah. So, there's going to be, it's going to be a good time. Like if you, again, 606-254-0484, go get your tickets, guys. If you haven't, they're quickly running out. This is like one of your last chances to pick up tickets. If they're still available, go get them because this is not a show you should miss. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, now I got to ask, what exactly are you doing or may be doing on stage? Because
let's just put it this way. I might need an Ed McMahon.
What?
I might need an Ed McMahon. Oh, I just might need somebody. To, yes, sir.
What can I do for you?
And just kind of be drunk and. I like Ed was most of the time and just have a lot of fun. It sounds like I'll be interviewing some of the principals and blenders up on the stage. It'll be a Q&A for everybody. There'll be a microphone so that if you're in line getting your cigars, buying cigars, and you have a question, the runner will take the mic and you can ask the question directly of the of whoever's on stage.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a really good time. We'll see kind of how it all works, how it all shakes out, pans out, as they say in the biz. And I don't know what biz that is, but yeah, but it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have to wait until next year to go because I'm not going to be able to be there this year. So if you wanted to go to see me to shake my hand, which I know nobody does, sorry, I'm not going to be there next year, though.
Yeah, well, I think you just increased ticket sales.
I hope I did. I really do.
I think you did.
I hope they sell out every year you come back. You talk to me about it. It sounds like a blast. So I'm definitely missing out.
Not to mention it's a hell of a value. I mean, you're going to get 20 different cigars bare minimum. That's mm-hmm. a guarantee. So that alone is worth the price of admission. And then you get all the extras and fun stuff and get to hang out and just talk cigars. It's an awesome time just to see people from... I was going to say different parts of the country, and I'm sure people will be, driving in, but I think predominantly it will be from that area, from what I remember last time.
They had quite a few people, I think, last year that were out of towners that came in for it. Look, I make the drive. It's like a 10, 11 hour drive for me. I make the drive. It's like what?
That's
8 hours?
That's not too bad.
No, it's not terrible. Not compared to
10 hours, 11 hours. That's a long ride, man.
Yeah, us folk that are out.
I got about half that ride.
Yeah, us folk that are out in the middle of nowhere, a 4 hour drive is nothing.
Yeah. Plus, look, not to spoil what's coming up later in episodes, but I think I'm going to be there early enough to actually sit down with Dwight, maybe Steven, and interview both of them and have them on the podcast and really do a deep dive into how this all started. How they started Fat Ash. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to you guys hearing that interview. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, Nick makes a good point. Like in a day and age where everyone's putting out 10 boxes of 10 and you're still paying $200 for a box of 10, $225 gets you, minimum 120. You're probably getting more by the time it's all said and done. And you get the opportunity to talk to these guys that you may not get to see throughout the year. So it should be fun.
All right. Well, we're never going to get to the end of this episode and the end of all of our PCA coverage if we don't get started. So if you haven't figured this much out yet, the PCA trade show for us is sort of a logistical nightmare. And sometimes we make improvements that are good, and sometimes we don't make improvements like we think we should. But one of them is this year we got an Airbnb instead of a hotel room. And I was just curious, what's your overall thoughts logistically? Did that's that actually starting. Work? But yeah, that's where that, I'm starting.
That's where we're starting. Is the,
you
like,
betcha.
The shit nobody cares about? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't care. I honestly, it's 6-1. It's 6-1, half a dozen the other. I think a lot of things went really well for this trade show. And I think some things didn't go well for this trade show as far as us internally. And you know, like you said, this is what yours and my fourth trade show covering it as media. So we learn a lot each time, and we try different things just to try to make our lives easier. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it doesn't. This time, a lot of things worked, a lot of things didn't. We're going to go back to the drawing board. You know, and I think it's going to just be kind of up to the team whether or not we're able to make some of those changes we need to make. And if not, then we make changes on the team and move forward. And, you know, I think as long as you, myself, and Nick are all in on this, I think we're fine. I really do. I think even if it was just you and me, Tim, running around with a camera like we did on year one, like it wouldn't be the same without Nick, but like we'd at least, I don't think we'd get what we got done this year.
You're already discounting me. There.
Well, no, wow. I'm just saying. Uh-huh. Like the first year, Tim and I ran around like chickens with our heads cut off. And it was tiny that first year because it was 21.
Yeah.
And you and I, it was just you and me, and you and I both lugged the equipment. You did more lugging than I did. You were the donkey to my Shrek.
Right.
And it was serviceable. You can go back and look at that stuff. All of the footage is up at simplystoking.com. Go check it out. It's under media and then PCA trade shows.
Yep. And then each year's broken out. Year's right there. But you got to also keep in mind that the first year that we went to the trade show, we had one rig. Mm-hmm. I think we had one camera rig and I brought a GoPro and that's it. And we hauled our laptops around the trade show floor all day, which your laptop is like a Yugo or a Prius. Yeah. It's about that heavy.
Well, it's a gaming laptop. So it's going to be bulkier than your average laptop. I don't join cults. So it's a PC and not whatever cult memorabilia gets handed out that year.
Whatever's, you're missing out. Join the cult.
I'm not joining the cult.
Yeah. I'm a Mac guy. Nick, I know you're a Mac guy, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Would you ever go back to a PC?
Never. And I think anybody, whether or not you're part of the Android / iPhone camp, there's reasons to have an iPhone versus an Android. But I can see if people want to keep their differences of why they want to be different, I get it. But what you're gaining with a Mac, and this is not going to be a wrap-up show about Mac versus PC.
No.
I can tell you this.
Are we talking about In-N-Out?
If you purchase, yeah, we could do that too.
But we will, don't worry.
But if you buy a Mac, you will never go back. And I mean that in all the way. I don't know if you can say that.
I do
not know anybody. The learning curve, and I'm going to only say this for people that have no idea what we're talking about. If somebody put in front of you two different computers that you've never, ever seen before, and you've lived under a rock, or you came time traveling from 1960 and you saw two computers, you'll get a lot further on a Mac intuitively than you would on a PC. You would not get anywhere on a PC. Now, when you have 20 years of working with PCs, you kind of are accustomed to it and you realize what you have. But switching over, yeah, there's going to be a slight curve getting more efficient with a Mac, but once you get past that point, there's nothing like it. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. And I think I lugged my MacBook around too, but it's just interesting because then year two, we took a little bit more equipment. Year three, we took even more. And I think this year we took three full complete rigs.
Well, we took three full complete rigs last year, and we got about 60 interviews. We visited 60 booths. This year, we took three complete rigs. We only used two of those rigs every day. And we still got the same amount of booze. You know, and talking with Nick and Randy and some of the other team members, we kind of decided to shift our focus this year away from just boutique. And I'm hoping that the audience understands the reasons behind that, that shift. As we grow, our coverage has to grow, and we have to try to grow our audience. So that means that we want to cover. Look, we smoke mainstream cigars. We're all familiar with it. I that doesn't change the fact that my favorite cigars are still mostly boutique, but I do enjoy, and I can't wait to get to when we talk about kind of what from the show we're excited about. Because it's not all just boutique. So yeah, we made that change, and I think if we're able to focus next year on the things that we wanted to focus on this year, maybe do some things just a little differently, a little tweak here, a little tweak there. I think that we can run three rigs and probably hit 80, maybe 90 booths.
Well, we'll see what happens. 'Cause I think we had that same hope, going into this one. It's every year you go to the show, they change the layout. They change so many different things. So you can never go back and be, oh, it's the exact same thing as last year.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the layouts are different. There is some change in the industry, who works where and kind of who you get a hold of to get things scheduled and things done with certain companies, for sure. Not a lot, but there's some.
Mention next year we have two main things that are going to put monkey wrenches for sure into this equation. One, the fact that it's going to be in New Orleans, yep, versus Vegas. So that's going to be a whole different getting used to that layout and how that's going to look like and what the attendance and that all those factors. And then the other thing we really have to talk about is, you're talking about 60, 90 interviews. You guys got a lot of work with those editing. I mean, you guys are at your wit's end now with all the editing. Can you imagine more? I mean,
We have a plan for that. We have a plan. Okay.
Yeah, we do have a plan for it. But let's talk real quick about the amount of information, the amount of data that we collect in a 3-day trade show event with just two rigs doing interviews and then a GoPro and an Insta360 running around getting B-roll. We're talking somewhere around 300 gig worth of data.
Now let me put that into let me put that into measurements, metrics, I guess would be the operative word, metrics that maybe our audience can understand. Just in interviews alone, not including B-roll and nodding, which would be from the GoPro, and not including 360, we had over 7 hours of raw interview footage. So when you cut that down 2 or 3 minutes on either end, right, you're still looking at over 6.5 hours of just raw interview footage. So what you guys have been listening to on the past three podcasts, I'm not going to say it's like the best content, but it's the content that we felt worthy of an episode. And then everything's going to get released standalone, including all of the interviews that are done for the podcast, because those are already edited and cut down. And we just have to, slap the intro on it, the outro on it, and get it up. And hopefully by the time you guys are seeing this, all that's done. And you can check it all out on our simplystogies.com site. You can check it out on YouTube, or you can check it out on Rumble. We've been releasing every day, just about at one or two different interviews that don't make the podcast for whatever reason. And like, we did a lot. And there were several times during the show where people were like, didn't we just see you like back there? Like, yeah, you did. We're kind of just running around trying to get as much done as we can. And it was different than any other year. Where this year, we made a concerted effort to also hit some of the bigger guys and try to get some time with them. But also we weren't, how do I phrase this without it sounding bad? We weren't, our pants weren't on fire. If that makes any, we took our time. We did really good interviews. The interviews we did were really well done. They were really well executed. And we weren't just trying to get content for content's sake, which is, and we were ran a rig less than we did the year before. We got just as much, which to me says that the people, the folks in the industry know who we are. And a lot of that is probably due to Nick and not myself or Tim, because nobody gives two shits who we are. But
well, they know. Listen, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I think is a good thing that we are taking the time to actually do the coverage of the two, three major, you know, people that we never did. I mean, this year we did Drew Estates, Al Titus, and General. Those are the three biggest guys out there. We still haven't gone to Rocky, and I think that should be on our radar because he's got probably now the largest booth, because everybody else's booth is like a third or a quarter of what they normally had. So he's got still a very large booth. I couldn't believe how, you know, how much floor space he still covered. So he still had a lot of coverage, and I feel kind of remiss in not covering him as well. But he's a difficult guy to get a hold of, as most of the major guys are there. And then there's the other guys that we still should hit too. But the reason I think was good for us to do that is, like you said, we are getting more awareness in the industry. People are starting to know who we are. And that's good, because they're going to go check us out. So the amount of people, as much as we love boutiques and on boutique, and, you know, they try to get on the boutique bandwagon in some ways successfully. And I want to talk about some of that in this episode, about some of the stuff that they have released that was surprisingly different and good, that maybe we didn't really try before. So
yeah, no,
I think overall we're well-rounded, more well-rounded.
It's like, yeah, we've been doing it for 5 years.
Well, yeah, we have been doing it for 5 years for sure. And this was our fourth trade show.
Right.
Yeah, but I think Nick's right. I think we are more well-rounded, and I think people in the industry do know us. Like, I still think there are folks that we didn't get a chance to talk with that I would love to, like Pete Johnson. He knew, like, he knows you, like, you're friends with him, Nick, but like, he knew my name. He's like, James, good to see you. I'm like, yeah, I even missed the last interview with you. I'm like, sorry, you had to deal with, you had
that's,
to deal
that's
with
why he fucking, didn't do an interview with you at the trade shows.
Like, yeah, I had to deal out with on him last time. Like, sorry.
You know, we spent time with him. We did spend time with him. We hung out with him for a few minutes, but we didn't have the cameras rolling, and it was always nice to catch up with him. And that's just as important than the actual interview, because honestly, Pete and most of these guys, they're really open to coming on board, you know, onto the regular podcast anytime and doing a full in-depth, so we can get a lot more time with them, and they're more relaxed, and it's a totally different mindset. You know, they're 100%. There, you know, they're in a different, you know, world right there. They have a focus. They're there for what they got to do. They know they have to do these media interviews as well. So I'm not saying they're running away from them, but when you have them more relaxed, sitting back, having a cigar, it's a total different mindset, and you get a total different feel with them. So,
yeah, no, 100%, 100%. I don't disagree with you at all. But like, Pete would be one that I would want to sit down with every trade show, and just for, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. I think, Carlito, he's ducking us. Stop ducking us, Carlito. You're ducking us.
You know, Carlito, I didn't see him pop his head out that much at all. I mean, I must have circled that booth. Talked to Jose Blanco, talked to a lot of the people there, got some coffee even in his booth, which was, you know, offered to me. And he was always in the little back room, you know, where last year I saw him on the floor a lot more for some reason. You know, I didn't see him. But Nick a lot Perdomo, of these guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, Nick Perdomo would be another one that I Oliva, my you know, anyone from my father.
Yeah, well, yeah, Oliva should know, have been. Yeah.
Yeah, like there are JC Newman. There look, and if we didn't hit you, it's not a slight. We didn't it's not like we went out of our way to not talk
right.
with you.
Well, there was a few of them that we had talked to, and they were busy, and it was like, hey, yeah, absolutely, come back later.
Sure. And, like, I went to West Tampa's booth at least five times to try to sit down with Rick and Sarah, and we had it scheduled. And every time they were busy, and I'm like, I'm not going to interrupt business for an interview. I'm just not. I'm not that guy. I don't think we're those people, and we're not that show. So, like, it is what it is. We got who we got, and I'm very thankful for everyone who took the time. I think everyone who did take the time was fantastic, and there were a lot of new players that we talked with, Ahana Nui, you know, along with Timeout, and why is that last one escaping
me? 262.
262 Cigars, you know, and Ohana Cigars, that was good that Nick got with them. Pro de Panama Cigars, that was a new player. You know, and then we got to talk with old friends that we, you know, IGM Cigars, brand new player. We talked with them. We talked with, you know, Jeremy Castagli.
Brand new at the show anyway. They've been
Brand new at the show. Yeah. You know, we talked with Ian from Dapper. We talked with Skip Martin from Romacraft. First time we've been able to get with Skip. That was awesome. I really want to get Skip on the show. And we could just talk about the industry. We don't even have to talk about Romacraft. We could just talk about the industry with that guy. I think that guy he understands the industry in a way that a lot of people don't. He has a very unique perspective, and I for one would love to pick his brain for an hour and just kind of let him go. I'd love to have Matt Booth on the show, because like you said, Nick, you just wind that guy up. You're like, here you go.
That's what it is. You can't sit there behind the camera and watch Matt Booth and not be laughing your ass off. And usually he's going to spot it, and he's going to call you out on it. I'm surprised. I don't think he did this year. I think he did last year. But I mean, that guy's just fun.
He did a little monologue, and you know, that's Matt. And I have interviewed him in the past, and he is a what's the word? He
Eric?
Could be very unexpected. Like, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get. Yeah. You know. He also, him and Robert Caldwell, the same way, you know, you don't know who you get that day and what he feels like talking about, but either way, it's a guaranteed, interesting interview one way or the other.
Yeah. And I don't think we were able to get, Caldwell this year. So there were a lot we didn't hit. So again, guy, like if you're a manufacturer and you're watching or listening to this, it wasn't because we didn't want to, it's just, we just didn't have time. We have 3 days. They took away our half day. We got in about a half hour early every day, because we weren't going to get there right at 9 to bother people. Like, that just seems to me, that seems a little overkill, a little tacky. And honestly, principals and blenders don't show up, and they don't show up an hour early anyway.
No, they don't. That's the other reason why.
Like, Nick, if you were there as a manufacturer, would you be in at 9 o'clock, or would you be like,
yes,
I was going to say Nick would be
I was always there. But if I had a team of 25 people working my booth, well, maybe not so much. You know what I mean? Maybe I would roll in just at the right time.
I wish I had a team of 25 people.
Wouldn't that be nice? We can cover the whole trade show in a day and be done.
It'd be done. Just go home. That'd be nice.
I thought getting in a half hour early gave us time to get to the booth that we were going to hit first. And I think when I was going back and looking at some of the videos, you could hear, like, right as the interview is beginning, you can hear over the loudspeaker, they're letting everybody in. So I think that was kind of nice, because I think I don't remember if we used it or not, the B-roll footage of everybody coming through on day one when they finally opened up.
I think you're putting it up now. I think a lot of that B-roll.
Oh, okay. I used it at the beginning of this. Anyway.
Yeah.
look at that. See,
time travels really hard. I'm
directing from the future. Flash there, path. Yeah.
There you go. I'm not so sure I like future you. but yeah, when that crowd comes in, if you're part of that crowd, it's going to take you an additional half hour to get to your booth. So getting in that half hour early, I liked it. And
well,
I think,
and that half hour, look, they let us in an hour early, right? Wait. Despite what you may have heard, we were supposed to get in an hour early. Whether or not they let us in, that's another story, but we were supposed to be able to get in an hour early. And we made the decision, it was a conscious decision, to not show up and be ready and have the rigs together until like a half hour before. Right. So, and part of the decision was so that we could get, bring you guys live content, which you can go back and look, you know, our pregame and our post day kind of recap. And I thought we had a really good time with that, especially the day where we decided, like, we were like, yeah, you know what, it's day three, we're just all tired, you know, and Nick wasn't downstairs yet. I mean, everybody was dragging ass.
Oh, everybody. Wait, I wasn't downstairs because I was waiting for the bathroom.
Yeah, well, yeah,
we were, true. I was ready. I was ready. I just, you know,
that was part of the whole Airbnb bathrooms. Experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Airbnb. If there's one negative, is, you know, that is definitely what I said for future. If we're going to do the same thing, is we should have the scheduled time. Okay, you're going to be at 9, you're at 9:15, 9:30, everybody knows their time, get up, go. That would have solved that problem right away.
Yeah, no, I'm all for that. Like, schedule it out. On the other hand, I had the master suite with the ensuite, so I just locked my door and I had the bathroom to myself. It was kind of nice.
And you were always ready first.
I was, which is weird. I'm never ready first, and I was ready first this every day. But yeah, it was fun where we got to just kind of go look at it. Day three, pregame, whatever we called it, in the morning. I thought it was pretty funny. So we you know, we made the conscious decision to be able to do that, to bring you guys a little bit of fun content as well as the informative stuff that we were going to do throughout the rest of that day. You know, and there were several days at the trade show where we didn't even make it through the first day, or through the whole first day. Kind of feel like we didn't make it through the first
right.
day. Where we didn't stay till what they closed it. The show floors closed at 5. We were done at like 3, 4 every day. because look, at that last hour, everyone kind of just, it's a free for all. They all go to the happy hour at the PCA lounge, which I honestly think, which hopefully we'll get into that too, is kind of what the PCA can change. I think that needs to be changed, and that needs to be pushed until to at least 5. When the show floor closes, that's when happy hour starts, and you have 2 hours to do whatever. But I guess we'll see what New Orleans is like. But yeah.
Well, so I don't have to remember to come back to it. Let's just talk it right now.
Oh, what the trade show got wrong?
Sure. We're like squirrels here. The PCA trade show is pure chaos. So is the show. It makes perfect sense.
Well, I mean, before we get into that, let's talk about the cigars, because I do want to get into that. But I think we should talk about some of the cigars that piqued our interest, that we tried while there on the trade show floor, that we tried, that they maybe gave us samples, because that's really all we were there for, were the free samples. That's not true at all. That was sarcasm.
I can tell you that's not true.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Like, let's start, Nick, because you're going to look at every cigar that you tried through a blender's lens. Like, what were some of the more interesting cigars that you were able to try at the trade show, or that maybe even after the trade show that were announced there?
Well, of the ones that I tried, the first one that really comes to mind that I was very interested, because it came from an unlikely factory, so to speak. I'm talking about STG General Cigar. One of the cigars, they had a few different cigars, and actually the new cigars that they did come out with were all pretty good. But the one that I was exceptionally waiting to try, and it did not disappoint, was, believe it or not, and I don't say this in a negative way, because it's probably, outside of Cohiba, the most well-known cigar in the U.S. It's Macanudo. Everybody knows Macanudo, and people generally roll their eyes when they think Macanudo. And again, not in a negative way, but usually most people start out with a Macanudo. It's known for being very mild. It was just their main cigar that they sold that was definitely their own. And the original Macanudo was made by the ancestor of Partagas, of Jaime Partagas, that who blended that original Macanudo. So, you know, in the early 90s, I smoked my share of Macanudos, and I haven't tried one in a long time. And, you know, kind of been there, done that. I knew what it was about, and I never really, if somebody hands me a Macanudo, I'm not going to say I'm not going to smoke it, but it's not something I would ever go into a humidor and say, let me get the latest Macanudo. But now there's a reason to do that. They have a new cigar, and it's called the Macanudo Emissary. And what's really special about it, well, first of all, the band is very cool because even though it's got the logo of Macanudo, it's on like a gold black style band. But going past the aesthetics of the color of the cigar, which is also dark in color, what I thought and what piqued my interest is they actually found a local farmer in Spain, and they used all his, basically his whole crop from whatever year they used. I don't recall, but it's a Spanish tobacco cigar. So I'm like, wow, a cigar with all Spanish tobacco. You know, I didn't know what to expect, but you know what? It was actually very tasty. And I did enjoy that. And I recommend people try that cigar because it's not your father's or your first Macanudo. This is a definite different variation, but still a Macanudo by name. And it's a good cigar. So that's the one that comes to mind right away.
Yeah, no, I let me second that, like heartily second that. Macanudo for me was a cigar that I've never tried. At least on purpose, someone I think had handed me one. It was very mild. It was very your run of the mill mild cigar. And I was already at a point in my cigar journey where it didn't interest me. And so Macanudo as a whole never really called to me. It never spoke to me. But when you handed me the Emissary, it piqued my interest. This is it's a darker wrapper. And look, you can go get it. It's on shelves now. Like it's out. And I tried it. And I was pleasantly surprised. I think that might be one of my top four or five, like what I'm looking forward to. And I think that's probably going to be a box purchase for me, which is odd for me to say as a boutique guy who I love a mild medium cigar as long as it's interesting. And Macanudo never really kind of had that interesting flair for me. And a lot of guys swear by it. But for me, like that, I think that might be a box purchase is the Macanudo Emissary.
It's also very indicative of what the majors, the big guys, the generals and the Altitas, they've really embraced this whole boutique world. They see that they're creeping up on their cigar sales, that boutiques are becoming much more a part of a humidor as they were in the early days. And they want to also be a part of that. And even though this is General Cigar, this is a boutique cigar. This is a crop that they used from a farmer in Spain, and it's a good cigar. And I agree. I really enjoyed that cigar, and I'll probably end up buying some of those myself.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that, because a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, I think, I was at an event in Omaha, Nebraska, at Safari Cigar. It was an Altadas event, and it was the Monte Cristo rep was there. And he was trying to convince me that it, like, they're going boutique. And I'm like, I don't really think it's boutique, but like it, that seems to be what they're doing. It's more like a craft beer approach to things.
Yep.
And I like that. In fact, I think who you spoke to at the trade show kind of made that analog as well, that it's a craft beer approach to kind of what they're doing.
Yep.
So
yeah, exactly.
Kudos to them.
And the whole thing, we didn't get a chance. Just one quick thing. The Titan de Bronze owner and matriarch was there, and I waited, tried to get some time with her, and she was very popular. And ultimately, I didn't get an interview with her, but they had her right in the center of the booth, and they were really highlighting her factory and her cigars that she's making for General. So that goes to show you they're really, the focus is on the craft/boutique side of the cigar world.
Well, that Partagas Titan de Bronze from a couple of years ago was fantastic, which, right. You know, typically, as our audience knows, I would stay away from, you know, the legacy brands just because they never really spoke to me. But that Partagas Titan de Bronze, like, I really feel like some of these guys, these bigger guys are embracing this small batch craft kind of philosophy to cigar making. And I think with what they have in their kitchens, to do a callback to what Chef Rick likes to say, they can probably make some really good stuff. Tim, what about you? What was the cigar? Actually, you know what? I'm gonna let me do it because
okay.
I know what you're.
I'll see you later. I was actually going to say, I completely forgot about the Macanudo. I did smoke one on our journey home. I don't remember if it was before or after I lost a tooth, but I did smoke it. It was good. I don't necessarily know if it's a box purchase for me, but definitely something I would smoke.
No, that's good. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Are you just going to throw that out there and not talk about your
look,
tooth?
We talked about it on the live. Go check out the live where Mike and Ike lost a tooth.
It was radioactive air and Mike and Ike.
Yeah, I don't think it was radioactive air. I think it was just the Mike and Ike because I didn't lose any hair. For me, before we get to Tim's, because I know what he's going to say and I want to say it before he does, is the mini hinky from Smoking Jacket. And Hendrick Kellner Jr. and his son, who they call Junior Jr., and then his younger brother, they blended this cigar for Hanky Kellner. They presented it to him once they had blended it and they had kind of figured out what they wanted, and they blended it to his palate and to his size. And it's just a small little, almost, I think it might be a little bigger than a half Corona.
It's still a solid 45 minute smoke.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It is a slow burning smoke. I immediately bought a box of these just so you know, they're right there.
It's not a sticker.
I promise it's not a sticker. And what's funny is they presented it to him and he smoked it and he said, he's like, I really like this cigar. This is great. What are you going to call it? And they're like, the mini hanky. And he goes, I don't think I like that name.
Nobody wants to be called mini.
Yeah, no, but he's apparently come around to it. It is a great cigar. Smoking Jacket out of the KBF factory in the DR. And it was one that caught my attention immediately, and I like I said, I went out and I bought a box right away because it's just that good.
Oh, Tim, thank you, Kelly.
Yeah,
Jr.
yeah, thanks. So I don't.
Oh yeah, he does,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah, he does.
It go watch that interview. I think it's up now on episode 3, part 3, I guess, of our PCA coverage that released last week. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. But yeah, it was fun to kind of look at, you know, talk to Junior Jr. and be like, you know, I talked to your dad last year about him making a cigar for his father. What was it like making a cigar that both, you know, your father and then your grandfather kind of had to put the stamp of approval on? And it was a fun conversation.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what am I going to say? You already did it for me. Am I supposed to just ask you? I mean, come on. This is no, but yes, the mini hanky. Was definitely one
no,
of
no,
right.
No, it's too late. We already spoke about that.
Yeah, okay. Move on, Tim. Jesus.
The McAuliffe Blue was good.
There you go. Attaboy.
I really like that one. And, you know, from my old days, back when I first got started in cigars, and my favorite brand that I can't. Thanks, Nick. I can never pronounce anything from their line. I'll probably butcher this, but the CAO Fasa Nochi.
Christ. Yeah, move on,
Podomac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Podomac. Yeah. See, I don't know why. I like
cigars that have difficult names. Okay.
That's right.
Or at least difficult for you.
Yeah, don't worry. I can't pronounce any of yours either.
obviously, neither can I. I'm like, hey, it's the Nicholas. He's like, oh, that's not what it is.
Wrong.
I'm just a basic white guy. But yeah, the McAuliffe Blue is, again, that was an immediate box purchase. It's sitting over in that one on the far side. And that is a $7 Robusto, $8 Toro with a Mexican Sumatra wrapper, which is different. It's unique. And it has all of those kind of traditional Sumatra tasting notes but they're just different and it hits different and it's amazing. And for that price point, you can't beat it at all. So kudos to McAuliffe, and they're coming out with a McAuliffe Red in September. So I'm looking forward to that. One last one that I really want to mention, because even this was released just right before the trade show, and I picked up a box of it kind of on a you know, hoping that it would be good, and it blew me away. And so I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. The Patina Oro de Nicaragua.
Oh, that was a good one too.
It's the first box of 20 that Mo has done for Patina. It's also, I believe it's the most expensive cigar he's come out with for Patina. And it is absolutely amazing. I'm so glad I picked up a box of that. Mo has done a fantastic job. You know, I love his Connecticuts in the morning, his Patina Connecticuts, the bronze. It's so good. And his Sumatra's fantastic. But this Oro de Nicaragua is on another level. So kudos to him. I think for me, I think that rounds out like the top four from the show. Another good one that I got to try. I don't think either one of you got to try is the new one from Peter James and the collab.
I smoked it
with the Luciano and John Lorendi, and I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really good. Yeah. So there's a lot of new stuff, that people have coming out that, you know, for 9 months from the last trade show, I was kind of surprised that there was this much new stuff because it's kind of a truncated, time period, right?
Yeah.
Well, and then some of them are even still going to come out with something new later this year, right?
Oh,
so
I'm
that's
sure.
two releases basically in 1 year. That, I mean, for some, well, I think that's gotta be kind of crazy.
For some, I think most. Any more than norm is at least two a year for a cigar manufacturer, and then an LE somewhere thrown in there for good measure. I mean, look, you know, and the industry always bemoans this is, you know, smoke our core stuff. And they keep coming out with new stuff. They have trained the American, consumer to want the new.
Amen.
Not smoke the core stuff. And I think that's a problem that they created. That's a monster of their own making. And the only way to kind of self-correct that is, in my opinion, and Nick, you could probably speak to this better than I can, is to not put out so many damn cigars every year and maybe keep it to one new line with maybe a couple of sizes every year.
Well, the problem has been that these are generating sales and getting people to buy their core stuff, including for myself. I, you know, for several years early on when I started, everyone's like, oh, what do you got, anything new? I'm like, you guys haven't smoked the other stuff yet. You know, I have so many cigars that I introduced to the U.S. market. And I'm like, why would I enter another one? Smoke what I have, for God's sakes. There's nothing wrong with this. And it's true of all manufacturers. But again, the American market is conditioned. What's new? And, you know, if you don't do it, like I only started doing it a few years ago. And yeah, it makes a difference. And so it'll never change, I don't think, unfortunately, because it's working. So if it wasn't working, you know, they'd go back to the drawing board. But it seems to work. It gets people to buy. It gives people some reason to go out and buy something new. And then while they're there, they'll buy some of their standbys and their regulars. So unfortunately, it is working. So
I kind of feel the same way in regards to all the swag, the free stuff. You know, people go to events, and that's some, not everybody, but some people, all they want. What's the new swag? What's free? What's sitting on a table unattended that I can fit in my bag?
I don't think that is exclusive to the cigar industry. And look, people like free stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's ever going to change. As long as your swag's on point, like you got a good sticker game, you got a good hat game, you're probably fine. But like, I don't think you need that. I don't go to cigar events for swag. I go to cigar events for cigars. And I think people would rather have cigars than swag. So if you're a manufacturer and you're listening to this, like, don't put all your money into swag. Put your money into the R&D.
And that's something that's really the U.S. market. And nobody that I know in any other country goes, hey, what's the new swag? Let's get some free stuff. No, they are there for the cigars. So it's definitely a U.S. market thing.
All right, let's move on to the what can the PCA trade show do? What did they do well? And what could they have done better? And I know that James is just steaming with frustrations.
I don't have anything. I have no frustration. I really don't. I look, if you want to know, like, I think that the trade show went off without a hitch for the most part. I think there were there was one snafu with media where some folks were trying to get in right at that hour mark early every day, and they weren't able to get in. And from what I understand, an apology has an apology has been given and everything is fine. So I don't think we'll have that issue going forward, whether or not they let us in an hour early or not. Like, I don't think we're going to have that issue going forward. My big complaint is the communication with media. I don't mind that the PCA has their own media arm now. I understand why they have it. Go for it. Have fun. But the communication piece with media, for example, we were told that there was going to be a media press conference sometime after the trade show. It is now, just so everyone knows how the sausage is made, it's April 9th. And there is still no word on a trade show, at least that I've seen or heard. Maybe we didn't get an invite. But that's kind of my biggest complaint with them is communication. They're not communicative with us. They don't seem to want to be communicative with us. We still kind of, in my opinion, are the redheaded stepchildren of the trade show. And they would probably just not let us in as to let us in. I don't think that's in their best interest to do that. I think they understand that. So they just kind of do it in a very, what I would call, half-assed manner. I don't know of any other trade show that charges media. I don't know of any other trade show that makes it so difficult for media to register. And these are all things that I would tell Scott Pierce face-to-face. I think in the past, it's been a lot easier for media because we were considered members. We had to pay our $400 or $450 dues. We got two free badges or three free badges. And then we got two that we could purchase for $150 a piece, after that. This year it was, all media gets free badges. Well, that wasn't the case. We got two badges for free and then we had to pay $150 for every badge above and beyond the two that we got for free. And as we've alluded to at the beginning of the show, doing it just the two of us, we could do it. It would not be to the level that we've been able to do it the last couple of years. So I feel like their communication piece and kind of maybe through that communication, we would have a better relationship with them. Now, look, anytime I ask them to come on, whether it's Glenn Loop or Josh Obersky or Scott Pierce, they are more than willing to come on and talk about the things that cigar consumers need to know. And I think it's important that cigar consumers do understand the importance of the trade show, that they do understand the importance of what the PCA does. I just feel like when it comes time for the trade show, we are the last thing on their minds. And I'm not sure that's a great thing. But Nick, what about you? What did you think?
The only thing that comes to mind right away, I mean, there were some small little things that, it's almost nitpicking, like the lounge area. They could have used a few more seats because they were constantly used. So, when you kind of want to rest your bones for a little bit, finding a chair was always kind of difficult. But yeah, that's minor nitpicking stuff. And the other thing that just, I wish I had brought warmer clothes. And that's nothing on the PCA, but, every year that I've gone to, the PCA, IPCPR, RTDA, it was always in the summer. And generally, it was 130 degrees. So when I, went to Vegas this year, I brought a very light jacket. But, when you're staying at an Airbnb and you're visiting other people that are also staying in houses and so forth, and you're outside in the evening, I'm not going to tell you it's, Arctic cold, but, it's not what you're used to. I was pretty cold, and I had every layer of clothing I could find that I brought with me, and I was still cold. So that's something I won't make that mistake another year. New Orleans is much more south and shouldn't be as cold, but it's still going to be around the same time. I think they're talking April, end of April.
And I looked at the average temperatures are the same as Vegas.
Is it? Okay, yeah, so I'll keep that in mind for next year.
Bring your snowsuit.
Bring your snowsuit. Yeah. I don't think it's gonna be that cold, but at night it'll dip down the 60s, 50s. I think the other big thing, like it, outside of media, would be along the same lines of what you said, Nick, in that lounge area. But my complaint is with the happy hour. Now on day three, last day of the show, they had in that area, it was a happy hour, but it was also very women focused. And I don't remember but it was basically women in cigars. And Amanda McAuliffe was there, and the wife of the owner of Gurkha Cigars was there. And then there's somebody else, and I don't have the pamphlet in front of me, so forgive me. And the trade show was still going on until 5. So at 4 o'clock when this thing started, the music from all of the booths was super loud, and people could not hear these women speaking at the lounge. And it was packed. Nick and I were there, it was packed. And it was not conducive to what they were trying to do. And I feel like that's a failure of planning on their part. If they move the happy hour and have all of these things, including the women in cigars, which honestly should be on day one. I mean, it should be on day one and probably day zero and part of the opening ceremony. And they should focus on it and actually focus on it and not make it an afterthought. But if you're going to make it an afterthought, excuse me, and you're going to do this at the lounge, then the happy hour needs to be pushed back to 5 so that the noise from the show floor ceases, like the music playing out of booze. Like the Drew Estate Lounge was, that was always bumping, you know, and a lot of people are playing music fairly loud. There were several booths when we would go to, they'd be like, hey, let me turn the music down. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's down on the amount of editing I got to do.
And not once did you say that'll make Tim's job easier.
No, not at all. Cause I don't care about Tim's job. That's fine. Right. So I feel like that would be my big complaint outside of media is let's move that happy hour to 5. Let everybody stick around for 2 hours after. And it might be a convention center thing. But I feel like that could be worked into the contract. Like, hey, it's going to be till 7 every day. Or you know what? Start an hour earlier. Start an hour earlier and then still have it end at 6. But the trade show floor ends at 4. And then everybody gets to hang out till 6. If that's the issue. I feel like there's easy workarounds here that I don't know why.
Yeah, these are little logistics. They'll figure it out. You know, I'm confident Scott Pierce, if he gets the feedback or he saw on his own what the deal is, these are slight little minor corrections that will just make it go so much. And that comes from experience in doing it. So I'm confident they will correct these little things.
You know what I'm really happy about, guys? Like super happy about?
What?
12 months. We have 12 months.
12 months in between.
We have 12 months now, a full year in between this. It's not 9 months. I'm very happy about that.
11 months, I think, right?
Or no, actually 12. It's April. Yeah,
you're right.
It's April.
So actually, I'm 13 months.
But that's not something. Something to be happy. I mean, maybe I guess it is something to be happy about.
It is. Maybe it was just me, but I kind of felt like it was like we were just there. And I know it was 9 months, but it felt like we were just there. And I was just like, I struggle with, should we keep doing this? Is this even relevant? And I had a conversation with Brooks, which, by the way, big shout out to Brooks Whittington
from
Half Wheel. All the help that he gave us during the show and talking with us and just seeing if we needed anything. That guy's just phenomenal. Him and Charlie are just awesome guys in the industry. Go, like, I don't have to tell you, halfwheel.com. Check them out. But thank you to Brooks. But I was talking with Brooks on day zero about, like, is this even relevant? Should we even be here? He looked at me and goes, you sound like Charlie. He's like, is that Charlie says this every year. Every year Charlie says this. You sound like Charlie. I'm like, I'm going to take that as a comp. Because like, is it really relevant for us to go? I think it is. I think in the long run it is. I think it's important for people to know not only what's coming out, because that all gets released now before the trade show, right? You can go to Half Wheel or Coop and see what's released beforehand. But I think to hear it from the manufacturers themselves and everybody's able to get together and we're there, we're able to network and meet new people and refresh friendships, so to speak. I think it's important from that aspect, but I also think it's important that this is the one time a year that the PCA makes enough money to fight the big bad federal government and now the state government, the state level, because they're really starting to focus on that. So I think it's important that, the trade show goes on. It is newsworthy. So I think, you know, we'll probably keep going.
Well,
in memoriam.
You know, I was thinking when you said that, you know, like when we got to the trade show and it felt like we were just there, I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I got there and I was like, well, here we go again. And I think it's because for me, I didn't come in a day early. I know you got, what, 2 days earlier or something. You were so excited to get there.
No, I got there a day early. I got there a day early. Eric got there a day early and Randy got there a day early.
Yeah. And Nick and I, we fly in and it's basically straight from the airport to the event.
To the frying pan.
Yeah. To the frying pan. You know?
I mean, really, I felt sorry for both of you because it was, in fact, I think we picked Nick up from the airport and went right to the event. So he didn't even get a chance to get settled into the Airbnb until afterwards, after that first day. And that's hard to do. That's very hard.
I think you're right. Those extra 3 months will make a difference because it just did seem like Groundhog's Day for me. Like in the first day, I was like, really? Weren't we just here?
Why are we doing this?
That was, I mean, it did.
I mean, it really did. And I think it kind of wore on all of us. Just from a personal standpoint, I think all of us were just like, fuck, this is a lot of work. And we were just there, like, why are we doing this again? So, yeah, I think having that extra 4 months this time, because 13 months in between, is going to be good. And look, as soon as I get done this week with part three, this will be the last time I talk about the trade show for 10 months, almost maybe 11 months. And then we'll start prepping for the next one and getting things ready to go and things packed and head down to New Orleans, which will be a much shorter trip, I think, for everybody involved. And at least on our end, and hopefully it'll be a good time. I know that Half Wheel put an article out earlier this week that said that they do have a variance to smoke at the trade show next year at New Orleans, which I was very happy to hear about. Yeah, they did get the variance.
That's good. That is good.
Right. Yeah. So I logistically, I think it's still going to be a little bit different, probably much different than what we saw in Vegas the last 4 or 5 years. And hopefully, with that, you know, 13 months in between, retailers will also be refreshed. And they're going to want to come and they're going to want to go. And hopefully it'll be a very well attended trade show. And, you know, the industry will continue to see the value in it.
So real quick, and then we'll get out of here. What was your favorite moment? What was your favorite part about the entire trade show this year?
Well, other than on the plane Monday night,
the standard answer of getting to see everybody and say hello. I actually, if it wasn't so cold, I actually did like our lives out. You know, they were funny and, you know, we joked a lot and yeah, you know, that part was really fun. Yeah, I think just the camaraderie part was good. You know, Randy always adds his element of comedy.
usually at my expense. Yeah.
It was fun. You know, overall, you'll remember all the good stuff in the, you know, years to come. You'll just remember the good stuff.
I can't disagree with you. I loved the fact that we seem to have really good relationships, especially within, or at least they're growing within media. That was something that about 2 years ago, I think I mentioned to James, like, man, why are we battling or competing with media? Like, we're all doing something different. We should work together. We should be friends. And I feel like we're getting there. So I was really happy to see that communication and all that stuff happening. James, what about you?
Yeah. Let me tack on to that real quick before I give you my answer is I don't think we compete with other media. And that's not to say that we're not in competition with them. Obviously we're at some point our audiences overlap.
Yeah.
And we're vying for eyes and ears So I suppose in that sense, we're competing, but I think everybody brings a different element and a different perspective. Coop's perspective is different than ours, and our show is different than Coop's, and Half Wheel is, you know, news. That's what they do. They're news. They would be the journalists of the industry. And I think what the rest of us do is we try, we've made the conscious decision to not do press releases, and instead we get folks on from around the industry, and we try to give some insight. We're infotainment, talking heads, and that's what I think literally everybody outside of Half Wheel is. We're talking heads, and that doesn't mean that we don't talk about news of the industry. We certainly do, but we talk about it in a different way, and we get it usually right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So I don't think there's any competition in that way. And I did really enjoy Luciano having a dinner just for media. I thought that was great. He certainly didn't have to do that. Him and his team and the folks from, you know, Mike the Greek was there, who put out Foreign Affair. Paul Wood, who's his sales rep out of his home lounge, is Fat Ash. That was awesome to see him and talk with him and his wife, which I typically only get to see in May at My Old Kentucky Herf. And it was great to hang out with John Lorendi and Adrian from Peter James and just have a dinner, right? Sit down and have some fun, have some laughs with How About That Cigar Guys and a couple of the other folks from around the media that I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was a lot of fun. So I think there should be more of that. And if you're media and you're listening to this, like, stay tuned. We may have something special for you next Ooh. Year at the trade show. It's called a teaser in the biz.
I like it.
My favorite part was when I had to spend $500 on a fucking dinner for Tim.
I should have said that too. That was one of my favorite parts as well.
This motherfucker won't smoke $20 cigars, but that's God damn it. If true. You're like, if he's like, hey, let's go to dinner, just say, nah, that's all right. I'm good. Otherwise he's going to take you to the most fucking expensive steakhouse in goddamn Las Vegas, which was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was you, me and Brian Boland, the owner of Smoldering out of Livermore, Iowa. We went to dinner. We had a great time. And really, that's what it boils down to for me. It was a great time. Even look, I'm not going to say that there wasn't tension on our team. I'm not going to say that there weren't frustrations on our team. I think there certainly were. But I'm going to completely 100% wholeheartedly concur with what Tim and Nick have said, and spending time with you guys. It's always nice to see the guys in the industry, and it's nice that they know our names, they know who we are, and they welcome us into their booths and they come on the show. But for me, I spend the most time with you guys. And so I really want to thank Eric Lemire and Randy Carmichael, Nicholas Siris, and Timothy Allen for really taking time out of their personal schedules, carving that time to come out to Vegas, away from their families, away from their loved ones, and put the effort in that they did to bring you guys, our audience, who is the best audience on the planet, the content that we hope you enjoy and the interviews that I hope you enjoy. And we'll continue to do it because that's what we do. And so big thank you to them and all the work they put in and dealing with my dumbass and my frustration and my stress level. Which I was the least stressed for this show out of all of them.
Right. I think that's what stressed me out, was that you weren't stressed out. Because normally I'm like, okay, it's good. I don't have to worry about it because James has taken all the stress. I just have to get shit done. But no, this year you're like, yeah, I mean, we'll just figure it out. It's all good. Whatever. All we'll good, get it.
Whatever. Yeah. It was a kinder, gentler James. Which I don't think everybody appreciated. So I don't know. I think maybe next year it might not be the kinder, gentler James. I'll be back to what the fuck are you all doing? But it was good time.
It was
lots of laughs, lots of fun. So thank you to my team. Thank you to the team who stayed back to make sure that reviews get out. Ryan, Harley, Michael, everyone, they're all awesome. We have literally the best team anyone could ask for, and none of us get paid. And so I appreciate that. It truly is something that each one of these individuals that I've mentioned, they're passionate about. And I'm very thankful that they're on our team. I also, again, I want to thank all the manufacturers that gave us time at the trade show. And again, Brooks Whittington and Half Wheel for their friendship and for everything that they did for us, and helping us out. I can't think of two better guys in the industry, than Charlie and Brooks. So thank you guys. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun, a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun.
Don't forget your co-host. I mean, he has to put up with you more than any of us.
I think you still put up with me more than anybody, but yes.
Yeah, Nick. I was going to say, Tim, I think, you know, you're definitely, yeah.
He's my whipping post. That's what Tim is. He's my whipping post.
Yeah. The scars will not stop bleeding.
Yeah. You put up with a lot, dude, for sure.
Nick's like, I don't know why you put up with it.
All right. So all the thank yous are out of the way. I think this wraps up the final PCA talk gibberish, what the hell ever. So James, keep on rambling. Get us the hell out of here.
Join us next week when myself and my co-host that I don't use as my whipping post at all. I use Tim as the whipping post. But my friend, Nicholas Sears, sit down with Jonas and Miyagi from Blackbird Cigars. And then the week after that, we've got to clear the air. And then we've got things planned. We have interviews scheduled out till June. So we are booked solid. We got a lot of good things coming, down the pike. Stay tuned for those interviews, guys. Thank you so much for coming along with us on this journey through, PCA trade show and convention 2024 from Las Vegas, Nevada. We don't have to do this again for another year. So until next time, stay smoky, friends.